Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
And we are live. I thought I might have had another second. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
List text. List text ready. Okay. Can't get on camera with the chat lips. I know about his team. Say that for Mark. Say that for Mark.
Exactly. I'm doing it in February. You know, gotta be moisturized. I am Crook Chocolate. Got Tarek. Got Sharpie. He rocking the solo back down there. I guess he's at the bottom for my screen. I assume it's for y'all.
I'm right by myself. You know, I'm Roger out here. We got Phil, we got Kev. I'm Roger today. Let's go.
How are you guys doing, Tarek? It really is.
I mean, so Ian. Good.
I said his name. I was trying to pause. Yeah. I was trying to.
Now we got to go back to Tarek. Tarek. So here's the thing, y'all. Y'all look at Tarek. You see this wonderful picture. I go, Tarek, you got a new camera? He's like, nah, bro. I got a haircut. I said, oh, that makes so much sense. The haircut makes everything shine better. It just the whole face becomes more moisturized.
And he's got the sweater on too. He's
just it's a whole different ball game when you get a fresh haircut. Which it's not even fresh no more, but still,
it does. Last time
I saw y'all. I think I was on week 3, which is not normal. So
yeah, after 2, you're like, ooh, it's time.
Yeah, I'd be hurt.
The wife starts saying something to you. The daughters might mention something like, "Dad, you want to get a haircut?" You know,
the wife is good for. So when are you going to see Trey? Okay, I got you. That's cool. But that man, it's good to be here. It's good.
That's
to
a good
be
woman
here.
Right there. Okay, she said, "Go, babe, go see Trey."
Oh yeah,
it's time to get that work done. See Trey.
Good to be back.
How are you, Crump? We don't ask you this, man. How are you, bro?
Man, it's great. I'm just excited for the weekend. We got Champions League football back. I was even excited to see Europa League. What I love about Europa is just there's so many games. It's so chaotic. There's just goals all over the place. I do Golazo for
that's the best way.
Europa. But for Champions League, I hunker down and I'll watch a match. And I just get into the drama.
You got on the French Where's Waldo swag right now with the boards on the strikes. Man is out here, bro. I see you giving fashion today.
I'm trying, you know.
Where's Crump? I don't know. I can't find him.
You brought up the Europa League, and you was like, "Oh, I thought you were gonna say the thing you like about the Europa League is seeing Liverpool in it." That's what I thought you were gonna say. But
clutches pearls, my word.
That's what I like about it, just seeing.
Looking for them today. I was like, "Oh, they play next week in the Big Thursday. They play the Big Thursday next week, not the little
Thursday." The Big Thursday. Okay.
What's the Thursday match? I don't know her. I don't understand this concept. I keep telling these clubs, bro, y'all be playing on Thursdays, and I don't understand.
Well, that's
okay. We play Saturday. Sunday, we might give you a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday. Thursday's off limits. We don't do that.
I wasn't even thinking about Liverpool even playing in those Thursday nights. It's just like, I can't even accept that they're there doing that. It's just, ugh. It's real gross.
None of our guests are Liverpool fans, are they? I don't want to offend our guests before they come on.
No, me and Nico, they're citizens with us, so all it's right, a great time.
It's all good.
That's the only day we get DT3. It's the only day we get.
French sports.
It's the football day of rest.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. Oh, man. Honestly, this is great. We're just going to bring our first guest on. I'm super excited. One of our references that I've had reached out. quick connect. They were just like, hey, what's up? Love to be on. Thanks for having me. Now we're here. I'm very excited to get to know this person. May. Katie, can give it up.
What's up? How y'all doing?
How are you?
How you guys doing? I'm doing good. Yeah. I got a haircut recently, too. So you know what I'm saying? This is a whole new world. Because I don't really get a haircut as long as often as I probably should. Because my hair don't grow back as much as it probably should. But I'm fine with that as long as I don't got to get haircuts as much. All right. Whatever. That's fine by me.
Wait. How much did it cost you?
I've been getting my haircut. It's actually bad. But I've been getting my haircut by the same person since I was like 13, 14. So it cost me like 30 bones. But I had to drive mad far. I drove home to get it. I saw my friends while I was doing it, but I drove mad far, 2 hours to get it, just to see my friends to get a haircut. It's kind of stupid.
No, that's real.
What's the Indiana price?
I'm kind of the same story as May. I've been going to the same dude. I'm not from Fort Wayne, but I've been pretty much since I've been here. So I've been going to him since, 20 plus years. So I just sit down. I don't tell him what I want. I just sit down. He cuts. I get up. I give him my card. I walk out. I don't know how much I pay, to be honest with you. It's like $30, maybe $35. I just been going to the same
dude. You're just chalking it to the game.
I just sit down. He already knows what to do. Boom, boom, boom. So I can't go nowhere else because I got to explain stuff. I got to try to figure out, how do I describe what I want? And that's too much work. I just need to go sit down in a chair, close my eyes, and relax while he do his thing. So
this is our lane for advertisements. We need barbershop advertisements. Let's really get it in. Let's get barbers across the country to lock in the sock. And now we're going to a different level. See, nobody's ready for that. Nobody's ready for the match being on the barbershop. Everybody's about the game. Everybody's ready for the match. Okay.
Is the big boss going to be Phil's barber?
I think so.
That's the big boss we got to get.
Starport's finest is going crazy out here. His fade is solid.
His fade is crazy. It is crazy he gets a line though. As like, because he, if you look at it, when you look at it, he has like, it's not like they cut his hair so low that it's little strings. It's little, you can see the little strings that one's a little longer right here. So it's crazy. They give him a crazy line. I want to know how he said I saw in a video recently that he said that he goes to like the same barber that he's been for mad long.
Like y'all?
And I'm like, you've been getting that same cut, you've been getting faded out for like 10 years or whatever.
Apparently that's the hairstyle of Stockport, honestly. If you go there, there are a lot of white dudes that with similar styles of haircuts.
They're getting the fade, sure.
So I think dude got he's like a celebrity barber or whatever.
HD custom. Yeah.
I don't know what his name is. I just seen it. I come across it on Instagram or something a while back. And there's quite a few people that he cut. But if I had that much money, man, I would be getting my hair cut. You know who? Okay, so this is not why you came on here. This is not. We didn't come on here, bring you on here to talk haircuts.
But why didn't we?
I would get Jalen Rose's barber, and I would just have him cut me every day. Just freshen me up every single day. If I had that much money,
Jalen Rose, he get it touched up.
You
can find a barber. You can find a barber.
Real dark. It's real dark.
I mean, he got the best lineup on TV or on wherever you want to see him.
I swear, it'd be a little too nice sometimes. It's suspiciously nice. You'd be like,
are you saying he got that Steve Harvey man?
No. It's not a piece.
Oh, okay.
I think he gets it filled in.
Oh, he got the colored of, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
After 45, I mean, most people don't have a crisp right angle. You ain't got the right angle no more.
Yeah, I bet you that's his line. He gets it filled in, if he got any kind of little thinness, he filling it in for sure.
Yeah. He's not true to the game.
So you could definitely find Jalen Rose's barber. You can find someone that could spray paint a little on you.
I don't want to spray paint.
Hold him and getting the eyebrow racing stripes since he was 5. That's incredible, bro. in kindergarten with a stripe is crazy. You are a sicko.
That's gonna be his son. That's gonna be his son.
Yeah,
that's really like the little Ronnie. Ronnie out here and ready. Okay,
no, for real, for real.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Krunk. I derailed the whole conversation with barbershop.
Honestly, no, it's bro. This is the lit stream.
I'm very lit, so we're here. Let's get it.
Hey, no, I love it. I love it. I'm cool. It's been the opposite. I want to start here because I know Tarek is going to enjoy this energy, wanting to get a real win at Anfield before Klopp steps away.
no matter what.
And that is honestly from Petulance. If he comes out, he's like, hey, I like this idea. You know, try to poo-poo on the clock parade as much as possible, because you know that's what everybody's been doing. Their first day back after the clock information, everybody was giving their homages to him like the man's was dead already. It's just like, what is going on? This is weird. So how about you just let us know, why do you feel the city needs to get this win against Klopp?
I think it's just crazy. We really, I've looked at it before. I'm pretty sure this is the case. But if you take away, you know, empty stadium era, they haven't won at Anfield, I think, since 03 or something like that. Since 03. And it's not like Liverpool are going to go away. You know, if Pep will be here next year, we could play him again at Anfield next year. We can get a win, you know, and break that streak. But I feel like at this little mini era, this era that Klopp has had, that Pepe Klopp has had, they've done almost everything, you know, like both back and forth. But that little kind of twist of us getting to win at Anfield, and then to do it like at last chance of being able to do it against Klopp, and to do it when it's probably going to be, if it does happen, it could be like a title decider, and just to do it. Right. I mean, Arsenal are going to be around, but just that moment could feel so special, and it could feel like I'm not even really in it to make it bad for Liverpool or to, you know, spoil Liverpool's parade. It'll be better. But it's not even that. I'm saying I'll feel better about it because it feels like it'll be like something that got lifted off our shoulders before it was too late. You know, you get it. You go and get it next year against someone's first year as a coach. It's like, yeah. Thank God. I mean, we did it, but, you know, doing it at the very last time that we really have a chance, I feel like it would be special. It would be a nice little send off for Klopp for us, but I wouldn't really think about it as like a negative way, but just solidify this little Pep and Klopp race.
I feel you. And I think like, it reminds me a lot, because I'm a UNC basketball fan. It reminds me of when Hubert Davis, well, it's not Roy and Kay, but it was like, hey, UNC is coming to Coach K's last game at whatever that place is called,
Cameron Indoor.
And Caleb Love said bye-bye. And like that right there, it's that same energy. It's like, hey, let's let you leave on a high note for us, and your fans can be despondent and sad and crying. And just that, like, I want all the pain.
That whole gym was soft.
I've never seen so many white tears. They were just like, oh, my God. Oh, we pay so much tuition to lose the UNC in Coach K's final game. But I want those Scousers to feel the same pain.
And like, you know they were camping out. I think you got to camp out.
Yeah, they camped out for like a week. They were like, camping out for a week. Crazy. It was crazy.
I think I heard before that the way that works is that you can't have more than – it has to be like two people there for like
– At all times.
At all times. Or if you don't, you lose your spot. So they were camping out for a week just to – oh. That would have been hard. That would have been tough to take if I was a USC fan. It's just
we could break. Fan? Oh my god! Yeah, we could break Liverpool. Like, if we win at Liverpool, I don't care if it's 2-1, 1-0, whatever. We beat them for 3 points. The season's ours, and then they're stuck with Europa, and maybe they beat Chelsea in the next few weeks for, you know, the cute little, what's the cup called, Tarek? What's we call it? The I don't care cup or whatever.
Energy drink cup.
Yeah.
Instead of the care about, it's the I don't care about. Cup.
Okay. I don't care about cup. We don't care about it no more. We done. We do real troubles only now. They didn't care about the domestic trouble when we did it, so we move on. So,
yeah. Nothing. There's actually nothing better. This is gonna sound crazy. There's almost nothing better than when we lose in the Carabao Cup. Sometimes I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you get free.
We don't have to play those games ever again. We don't have to worry about fitting in the squad, playing some terrible team that we throw out there, and then everyone makes it a referendum on the team. When we're out of it, I'm like, oh, because it's not like anyone cares. We could win it, and no one would be like, "Oh, who cares? It doesn't really matter." Everyone else, they could win it. It'll be like, "Oh, we did this."
A quad. You get a quad if you're Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, Liverpool was talking about they were talking about the quad.
Not even Champions League. Not even Champions League. But we get a quad. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, I'm Carabao Cup. Goodbye. I don't care about. You're right.
I don't care about it. Tarek, Tim.
Right. He's clutch. Let's look at this weekend, because we will be facing a couple of players coming home. in Cole Palmer and Raheem Sterling. Raheem Sterling, we're used to that. But Cole Palmer, or Cold Palmer, as he's become, even though half of his goals have been just PKs that Raheem Sterling has given to him. So, are you worried that we're going to give away a penalty and Cole Palmer's going to score his PK against us?
I'm not really worried about Cole Palmer's like return or anything like that. I feel like they kind of had their moment at Stamford Bridge. You know, kind of he gets the pen, makes the pen to, you know, make it a draw and everything like that. But I'm not really worried about his effect. I feel like at home we're just kind of too good. We're kind of too just like stiff when it almost comes to like how we kind of shut down other teams' offenses and things like that. So they're already struggling enough to kind of get to any kind of productive goals. I really don't see that changing unless we just, you know, we have the first shot on goal, first goal. You know, it pretty much happens weekly at this point, but I don't think it'll be so much that I'm worried about the result or worried about Cole Palmer, you know, saving the day with after the pen. I'm not even sure if Raheem will play. Seems like they've been having him on the outs recently, so. Yeah. But maybe, you know, maybe they put him in there just for the revenge game factor of.
Please, though, I hope they do, because
I don't know.
It's just bad for him.
I feel like Raheem's kind of got a little bit of like a dog streak where he could do something real quick, just one moment. That's all, because that's all you really need at moments when it comes to we playing them. And I feel like he's one someone who could do that. So I'm kind of worried that if he's a sub, that he might do something like that. But I don't know. My one friend's a Chelsea fan, and he hates Raheem. So I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna follow his logic and just say that they all stink now.
We are not gonna tolerate mini Raheem slander. Okay?
That's my guy.
Always a blue. Now that being said,
you see it.
Now that being said, I definitely expect us to win this match. You know, I'm always for, you know, you go have, in this case, there's no such thing as, you know, if it were basketball, I would say, go have as much individual success as you want as long as y'all lose. You can't really say that in soccer because I don't want you scoring no goals. I want to keep a clean sheet, even though Sharpie keeps telling me that it don't matter, but I want to keep one. So, you know, do whatever you do, just don't score, don't assist, and y'all go home with a loss. But I don't have no hate against either of those players. And, you know, any other game, I wish them the best. Now, again, I think there's a lot being made about Cole Palmer's goal scoring record. But again, he's putting the ball in the back of the net. So regardless of how he got there, I suppose, we got to give that man his credit. And so, you know, it is what it is. Wish him the best. But yeah, we're I don't want to speak too strong because, you know, I'm kind of pessimistic by nature, but I expect us to win. And the risk with Chelsea is that at some point they have to get it together. They can't just always be this bad, can they? They have enough.
Against us, they could be.
No, against us, yeah. So, again, my thing is against us, people turn up like their best performance. That's true. Keepers just keep, you know, it's like their keeper's not even good, but he'll be standing on his head in the match. So, no, but I definitely think we'll put it away. So yeah, it is what it is.
So I looked at it, you know, it was a 4-4 draw, and I was like, wow, 4 goals, a lot. That was actually 4 of our 25 allowed goals in the Premier League. That's 16% of our goals happened in one game, in one match. And the rest of the time, we've given up 21. So, like, that was 3 months ago. We were in a terrible place. It was, you know, it was right before the Club World Cup. We weren't, you know, it was wild. We clearly conceded goals. It wasn't like they outplayed us. We gave away goals. And I think everybody knows you defend home. The Etihad is a fortress. You do not drop points to a 10th-place team. I don't care who you are. Chelsea, Brentford, Wolves, they're all the same to me. If you are 10th in the table, you can't lose the 10th. You got to get those 3 points. And if Cole Palmer comes, I hope he starts, and I hope Ake shuts him down. Or hope he goes on the other side. I hope Kyle Walker shuts him down. And so that's what I'm fully expecting. I got City winning by 2. I don't know what it's going to be. We might give up one goal, but 3-1 is beautiful to me. I'll take 3-1 any day. So I'll wrap it up.
Seems to be the scoreline lately.
It works.
I didn't give mine, but that's what I was thinking is a 3-1. I didn't give it, though. I want that clean sheet, but I'm not sure.
It's the boring answer, but I think it's probably the right answer. I don't know. 3 goals feels like so much for us to score if we're going to play how we have been recently with Phil playing wide, like on the right.
Now, nah, three goals doesn't sound like a lot when you look at their defense. They're suspect.
They're giving up 40 in Premier League.
They gave up 3 or 4 to Wolves.
They can get got. And if they get pressed, like I feel like we can get their back line. Like it Haaland been healthy. Haaland played in November. I know he was there. But this KDB was not. Yeah. And so once that man starts, and we know he's 90 minutes fit now, that changes everything. Because now the defense is scared, shitless. Like, what do we do when 17 has the ball? We don't know. He frees up everybody. He makes Phil better. He makes Haaland better. So it's like, if 17 is on the pitch, Team Kale's out there. I'm good. I think we get it. We win every match we start.
That is fact. It does feel like you go out, you watch them play. It just and when he's out there, it feels like everyone just – their energy is different. They're not as like even they'll even take more chances when it comes to like which makes no sense because you would think oh we have Kevin so he's not going to give us a ton of like kind of cover but everyone just has so much more confidence when he's out there. They're like yeah even if we make one mistake here he's going to save us. He's going to put one ball in. Erling's going to head it in. He's going to he's going to take a long shot. It's going to go in. It's going to nestle in. So I think that kind of confidence that it makes us play with that. Helps us get that more control and everything like that. Helps us kind of just kill out games and suffocate teams. I feel like it's so nice to have him back. And I don't think we'll have many games where we go into it and we don't feel like, yeah, you know, this is our game. I say like Anfield, that's the only game I'd say that any most City fans will think that we have a chance to lose in terms of the Prem coming up. They'll think, oh man, like this could be the one. Everything else, I'm going in there. I'm thinking we're going to win today. If we lose, then it's a shock almost to me.
Totally agree.
Okay, we're going to end here.
Perfect.
Hakata, are you pro for or against bringing him in? Like, because I mean, if we think about it, we just because so Calvin Phillips experiment is working, so maybe we can just be like, look, let's just take like 10 off of Hakata deal. Let's just get it away from the like record deal amount. Let's get it under 100. Like if you
well, Paqueta,
let's do 15.
Paqueta, we only have to do 85, right? I think he has a release clause this summer that it's at 85.
Ooh.
So I think that was their whole thing. I think they wanted to send him Calvin Phillips there so that they didn't have to pay the whole 85. They were going to pay 65 and Calvin Phillips or something like that. But I'm thinking it's going to be 85.
£85.
We're sending Calvin Phillips somewhere else. I want Paqueta to come. I think he would be great. I think he fills kind of this, even though we're doing a good job with having Phil and Kevin playing at the same time, I feel like it would be hard to have Phil, Kevin, and Paqueta play at the same time, because obviously Rodgers never leaving the team. But when we don't have him, an upgrade on that, like that Kovacic role, where he could kind of play with Rodgers, play a little deeper, take the ball at his feet, kind of doesn't matter about a press on him or anything like that. Having a guy like that, and then he could also go forward, kind of create a chance. It just give Rodri so much cover that he doesn't have to be, because right now we're dependent on Rodri to be give us a little bit of offense. He'll drive forward into the edge of the box, take a shot, or he'll just try to lay it off. If we were able to kind of keep him a little deeper, we'd have Paqueta just kind of be able to control, run that position that Rodri's doing right now when he's going forward. I think it'd be so nice. If he wasn't trying to be like, a Kevin Spacey's character from 21, I think we would be in good shape. But instead, he wants to, he was gambling with his family. I don't know if it's true, but it is mighty suspicious that he had, I think they said that he had, his family member had a yellow, him get a yellow, and then another Brazilian guy in La Liga to get a yellow the same day. And they had there was some kind of parlay that had them both. Now, I don't know how you prove that kind of thing. But if he's freed, I think it would be great. I think he's a great addition. I think he wants to come. I think he really wanted to come here, and he kind of got robbed of that. And I think he has a place in the team. I don't know. I don't think Kovacic is like long for the squad, I would say. I think he's more of a kind of a bridge to whoever we get to take that position. And I think that Paqueta could be the person that could come in and take that kind of position and kind of build his own role. And I think it'd be really helpful. And 85 million, probably a lot, but it's release clause FC. That's who we are. So I don't see why we wouldn't.
My question would be, my question would be not about Kova, because I think he's, on his last legs, but Nunez, because we went and got Nunez because we didn't get Paqueta. At least that's how it appears. I don't know for sure, but so the question would be, do we think that we can have both?
I think we can have both. I think we play a lot of games. Like, point blank clear, we're going to play a lot of games. And I think the Nunez that we're seeing right now, I don't know what Pep has in plan to him, kind of to evolve him and to kind of make – it feels like every time someone comes here, they have that first year where Pep is just throwing them out there. He's trying to see what it's like. And then he spends that time and kind of finds whatever their role is. So for Jack, for example, he had that first year where he barely ever played and we didn't really know what he did. Then he comes in and he becomes that kind of control guy on the left. He just always has control. It kind of plays real, real wide, make sure we have control. I feel like Pep will find some kind of gimmick that Nunez kind of fits into the team that when we need some certain kind of play, he'll fit into there. When we need two people to kind of be deeper and to kind of defend, Paqueta will come in, things like that. I think like the real outlier is going to be Kova. I mean, I don't know how many games he wants. And most people, everyone else looks at City's kind of transfers and they look at it under the lens of how they would make a transfer, what was he, 45 million pounds. Like, he's got to play, right? He's got to be part of your team. But that's just not the reality that we really live in. I'm like, not to be that way, but like, that's just not how it is when City are making transfers. They can kind of spend 45 million on a guy that's kind of a gadget player almost. So I think he still has a role just because he provides such a unique skill set with his kind of dribbling and open space and things like that and driving forward. And if he gets like a little bit of a shooting touch, if he gets like a better final ball, he's going to be helpful, even to have as a sub, even to have as just a way to mix teams up. I know I see your point where they kind of do overlap a little bit, but I feel like we have so many games. We have so many, if any of them kind of got hot, I could see them fitting into the team and running for, 20 straight games or so, like where they're basically going to be involved in some way. So it's just about having enough talent around that Pep could kind of find those roles for them and he can just use it the best he can. And I don't think it's worth it to not try to get him just because we bought Mateus Nunez because we wanted to scratch Wolves and what's his name's back? The agent. I forget his name.
Mendes?
Yes. For him. And
oh, yeah. Portuguese whisperer right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were trying to get in early, I think, on João Neves. Yeah, of course. We'll take Mateus.
Pedro Neto, come through. João Neves, come through.
Yeah. Oh, Pedro Neto. Looks like they're going to have plenty of money to throw around for him. All the London teams want him, but.
Yeah, they want him back.
He would be nice, but I think too injury prone, and they're gonna use the Savio money, 20 million, have everyone get mad about it, and he's gonna be he'll score like 10 goals, and people will get mad every time it goes in.
The star, I love
Savio.
It.
Shout out to Savio, we love Rizzo.
Shouts out to Savio. May, please plug yourself if you want social media or if anything you're up to. How people can find you. Before you get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just Corvarame on Twitter. I don't know. It's a real stupid name that I made when I was like 14, 13 years old. So, and I can't really change it, but yeah, Corvarame on Twitter. And yeah, so you can find me. I'll be tweeting about City a lot. I'll be tweeting about manga and Valorant and things like that. Things that most people probably really don't care about, but I'm going to do it anyway. So if you're interested, hey, you're going to follow. It's going to be there. All right.
That's the fun thing, doing it anyway.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Have a good rest
thanks
of your
for
night.
Thanks for joining, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, bro. See you. Keep that line up fresh.
Hey, you know the vibes. Hey, shout out to May for coming on. And we're going to just keep the City energy going.
I love a good night for all us.
Just chat. Vibes. And so, Jetty Gang. Welcome, the homie Nico. How's it going?
We're doing City Philly
night. It's a Philly night in this building. 215. What up?
215. No, it's about 484. You.
Oh, good. There we go. True.
First off, very much enjoy the kit. Looking good.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I bought this one in Manchester, actually.
Oh, sweet.
I was up there this past summer. Family trip to London, and my dad said he's a City fan. We just took a train up to Manchester for the day and back, got a tour and everything. So it was pretty awesome.
That's dope. So dope.
Yeah.
Authentic.
Now, is that the one that they're saying our new kits are supposed to be a throwback to?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what it's going to be like. I mean, like, personally, I love these collars, the tri-colorway collars. If they can have some sort of, like, tri-colorway collar or something, I think that'd be really awesome. But
do you have the away kit this year with the collar?
No, I don't. I have the home kit from this year.
But I feel like the collar looks good though. I like the way that Puma does it. So I feel like if they run it back, like it could work. It could be really well.
For sure. I have the home one. This is the League One playoff final Dickov goal. I have the home and away from that year. So the other one also has a collar, but you can like snap it on. It's very 90s.
Okay.
Very 90s.
I want to start here because I'm just keeping the whole petty around and we can actually laugh at other people real quick. Does Manchester United have a better chance to make top four than Crystal Palace does to get relegated?
That's a crazy question, bro.
Here's my thought process. Ready? So United are 6 points off the top four with a very bad goal differential. The two teams ahead of them, the one team ahead of them is Aston Villa, then Tottenham in fourth, right? Palace just sacked their manager. They're 5 points ahead of the drop zone with a worst drop zone of any team outside of the bottom two. I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you. I don't see either happening, but if one were to happen, I have a feeling Palace would get relegated. No?
No, I'm with you, unfortunately. And it would be sad to see those players get – I mean, I don't think they get relegated. Some club would come and save these players, some of the players. I definitely think it'd be Crystal Palace.
If you think about it, like, did Patrick Vieira do a better job than Roy Hodgson so far?
Yes.
100%. That was racist.
I've talked about it so many times on our show. I've just yelled about Roy Hodgson. I hate that dude. Just like,
he plays a role, but he's not going to get your team to play amazing footy. That's for sure.
Especially anybody born before World War II. Should not be coached, like, should not be managing. I'm sorry. Like, if you were born before the bombing, you don't need to be managing anymore.
If you look like a bag of cream of wheat, then you should probably not be managing Crystal Palace Football Club.
Wow. So you said United is on
a zero goal differential. I was going to say that, Terry. They have a nil goal differential. That is so hard to do.
Zero?
It's zero.
It's like
perfectly 33 allowed, 33 scored in 24 matches. It's the most mid team ever to be at the sixth level.
Chaotic.
Newcastle scored 51 by comparison,
and that's almost 20 goals. Winning what they won the last three.
I think. Yeah, the 13-2-9. That was a good record, but it's terrible performances. Terrible.
So you think if they didn't go on this little bit of a run, three games, you know, with all three wins. Where would they have been? Good Lord.
Let's cut 5 points off. Right. I even give you this. If Scott McTominay doesn't save them three times, so instead of saying like, hey, we're going to win 9 points or we're going to drop six of those, right, two in each match, they could be at 35 points. They could be right above Chelsea. Like, it is so – their margins are so fine. Like, it's truly mediocrity. That place in the table means nothing. Look at the goal differential and you will see – it's like when you look at basketball. If you look at the average amount you win by, right? Like, how much are you winning games by? You'll see, like, oh, wow, like, this team wins by 7 a game. This team wins by 1 a game. The 7-point team is better. When you're nil, like, on goal differential, that's so bad. It's hilarious, bro. Sir Jim Ratcliffe signed up for a project, for sure. A real project.
So, to revisit the question, what is more likely – Is that the question? United getting top four or Crystal Palace going down?
Exactly.
Yes.
What's more likely? Okay. So United. Because Crystal Palace is on 24 points, 19 is where Everton is. So they're 5 points above Everton, above the drop. United is 5 points below Aston Villa. You probably said this, but it's just not registering for me. I guess I'm with you. It's probably more likely that Crystal Palace goes down than it is that United gets top four. Because they still have Aston Villa at the top of them in fifth. And then before they get to Tottenham in fourth. So, yeah, I don't think United's going to be in the Europa League next year or Europa Conference or Europa something. It won't have anything to do with the
There won't be a C there.
Or champions won't be in what they get in. Yeah.
There's going to be no Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's for sure.
Yeah.
No Tuesday, no Wednesday. Thursday nights.
I will say there's something that Charlie said as well that I think is really interesting on this is that if you look at goal differential, United, they're 6 points back at the top four, but they're 15 points back on goal differential to the fourth place team. So it's essentially a 7 point gap, right? Because you can't tie them. And if you look at Crystal Palace, they're 5 points off the drop, but the two teams below them, the three teams below them all have better goal differentials. And the team that's in the last place in the relegation zone has a 10 better goal differential. So like, that's a 4 point gap, not a 5 point gap. So I don't know. I thought it was very interesting to see one of those two things could very well happen. So we'll have to see.
Can I just say something real quick about this relegation zone? Like, Rob Edwards is a maestro because none of us gave Luton a fucking chance of being competitive. We literally thought up, down, right? Yo, like you go down, you're not supposed to be here. You got 10,000 seats. But the fact that they have a minus 12 goal differential, which is, like you said, better than Crystal Palace, better than Newcastle, better than Nottingham Forest. Like, that's incredible. They have 20 points, and we know Everton had the 10-point deduction, right? Like, Everton should be above them. We get it. But the fact that they're still there and they have life, they only have – we're in the last part of the season now. And they have 15 matches left,
fair
and
to them, to be fair to them, they have a game in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have a game to play. So, in theory, Luton right now is in 17th. If they even get a draw, they move ahead of of Nottingham Forest. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, we did not give them any real chance of being anywhere other than those bottom three spots. Somebody on this, somebody in Shades of Blue, actually went so far as to completely disrespect them. But we won't call out no names or point no fingers. But, you know.
I won't say a word.
Won't say who did that. But,
I don't know who they are. I know they're black, and they live in the Midwest.
I just like just like –
That could be me. That could
like
be
him. Right?
Exactly.
Just like
– only three of y'all. It took out me and Orlando.
I was trying to have some fun, and then people started saying things like bullying, so I had to relax. They're adults. They can handle themselves.
And that was a stressful win. I ain't going to lie. They had the live match in D.C. to watch along on the tour. And that Luton match was hell. Like, I was nervous. I was like, are we really about to lose to Luton? Like, this is terrible. Rob Edwards, that's a name that we should remember when we think about, oh, what happens when Ten Hag gets fired? Because he will not make it past this year. This is terrible. What happens? I'm serious. What happens when Liverpool is looking for a new manager and you don't want to go outside of Europe, maybe? Maybe you want to, I mean, you don't go outside of England. Maybe want to bring somebody up. Like, Rob Edwards could handle it. I think he's ready. If you can keep Luton Town, think about it. Say the name out loud, Luton Town. That's wild. Say it out loud, and they might stay up. Come on, man. He's got the goods. He's got
it. You think Roberto De Zerbi would get a job before Rob Edwards, though?
Brighton's disappointed me. I'm not going to lie to you.
He should have gotten out of
there. I think that's why he might leave, because – he thought he might want to stay, but he's just like
the talent drain. The drain is too much. It's hard, right?
Yeah, ninth place isn't bad for who they still have on their roster. Like, that team isn't. It's not amazing. It's really not that great. You know, like, it's probably a 9-12 spot team in terms of talent. But yeah, disappointing this year for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
disappointing. It's disappointing because of what we saw him do previously.
Yep.
If we took out the past and you just said Brighton, and even if you ran down the list of names, you would think that they would be mid-table, and that's where they are. He's in the past they overperformed. And so now you're kind of coming back to, you know, where you probably deserve to be. The only thing about Deserby is he's a bit of a hothead, or he's got a reputation of being a little bit of a hothead. So don't know if teams will be concerned about that. Liverpool, especially since they're handing out yellow cards for.
Have you seen Arteta? Nowadays.
Yeah, I agree. He's on that same wavelength.
I love it.
I respect it.
Look, Arteta's real. Like, I don't know why people want managers to be boring. Like, Pep is a boring. We always talk about other people. Like, Pep is just this kind, you know, timid person. Like, no, Pep be out here saying wild shit all the time and going crazy at fourth officials. Like, he does this. Arteta learned from Pep. Like, it is literally the same person, just happens to be younger with more hair. That's it. Like, it's the same idea. And so, like, he's youthful. When Pep was at Barca and Pep was at Bayern, Pep was hot. Young Pep in coming in City the first 4 or 5 years. It was a lot of issues. So, like, that manager is supposed to go hard, like, in that stage. Until you get to the top, you are always going to be on edge because you haven't won it yet. Now, if Arsenal ever does, and I hope they never do, but if they ever win a title, yeah, then Arteta will kind of somber a little bit. But for now, he's got to go hard because he needs that title. It's been 20 years. Is that right? 20 years for Arsenal since Thierry Henry and those boys? Yeah. It's crazy. Like, come on, bro. Like, that's a long time. That's a very long time. I can't imagine going 20 years.
30 years.
Yeah. So, like, God, these people. Oh, they're so sad. So sad.
These poor. Yeah, these poor people.
Well, I actually really want to just continue all of this fun hate fest that we've been doing. Arsenal have the third best odds to win Champions League. I didn't hear that. Could they actually do it? No. Just
hear me out.
Like, oh, okay.
Hear me out. I think it's possible, and I'll tell you why. Because PSG, you have your Real Madrid, Man City. After Real Madrid and Man City, is there any team in Europe that is really that strong enough to potentially win? We saw Bayern lose this week. We saw PSG not play that well, right? An Atletico Madrid team that's not playing very well domestically, a Barcelona team that's not playing well domestically. Now you're left with Arsenal, Inter Milan, Napoli. Am I missing anybody? So it's kind of interesting. If you see Bayern get knocked out this round, I don't think PSG will, but like I don't see PSG going very far. If Arsenal get a good, if they get through the round of 16, they get a good quarterfinal draw, and all of a sudden they're in the semis, it's very possible. I would love to play them in a semifinal of a Champions League because I think we'd kill them. But
Nico, yeah. Is the rule that like you can't play your own league
that stops until
the semifinals? Now. Yeah, after this, it's over with, right?
Yep.
So after the 16, so you can play in the quarterfinals.
Yep.
We played Liverpool that 1 year in the quarterfinals.
That's right. We did. Okay, guys. Yeah. Sorry, I'm brain fart. But yeah, so like, I mean, I feel like Arsenal's a really good team. Like we talk down about them. But look at the table. They got 52 points. They just like us. We just got a better goal differential with one game in hand. But, like, Arsenal's really great. And they have a full squad. Now, does Arteta use it correctly? That's a conversation, right? Like, is he rotating properly? I don't know. But they're winning matches. And they are able to score enough to get ahead. But with that defense, like Saliba and Gabriel, Ben White, like, that's a solid back three. Throwing Kiwior. And I heard Timber's on the way back. If you get Timber back, that's like a new assignment to come back in and be ready for the last 3 months of the season. They're going to be a tough out. Like, I wouldn't
like
put
with
it that
awesome. Anything in Champions League, it depends on your matchup and who you end up getting drawn against, right? While I could see, to your point, Charlie, they're absolutely not a bad team, whatever. And they do have the potential to score. We just saw them go hang, was it a –
Six
on squad the other night. So they have the potential to do that. But I think against, let's say, Atletico Madrid, right? The defensive style that they play, I don't know that they have anybody that can break that down. Saka can do his thing to some extent. But, I mean, you know how we've struggled in the past with breaking down low blocks. So a team like that, a team like maybe even a Porto or somebody like that, I could see them giving them a difficult time. Teams that try to go toe-to-toe with Arsenal, just like teams that try to go toe-to-toe with us are probably going to be a little bit more – find a little bit more difficult, because if you leave it open, they're gonna do their thing. And I guess for them, it's how much can their press, you know, disrupt the other team. So we'll see.
Facts.
Nico, before we get you out of here, please plug yourself. Let people know where they can find you on socials and all those teams.
Yes. No, absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I'm on Twitter at Nico DeGallo. It's like Pico DeGallo, but it's Nico. That's really it on my end. I tweet about Philly sports, mostly the Eagles, some football and city, and maybe some Star Wars stuff. Really, is kind of my niche. So,
Kron, can I ask Nico a question before he leaves?
Yeah, go for it.
I just want to get this real quick. I know we got to go, but Florian Wirtz, are you with it? You want him at City? Do you want him somewhere else? What do you want?
So when you guys were having the Paqueta discussion, I think scrap Paqueta, spend all the money in the world that we have for Florian Wirtz, call it a day. He's 20 years old. He's maybe the best prospect in Europe right now. He's about to ball out at the Euros. And honestly, I wish we could go for him before the Euros, because his Euro price is going to be – Euro price is not yesterday's price, essentially. Like, we're going to be paying way more after the Euros than before the Euros. So,
bad job. There we go.
Yeah, I'm a huge Florian Wirtz guy, and I think he'd be a great signing for us. So.
What's his best position?
He would be great in, like, similar to how Foden plays, but he's
that's what I'm scared about. He's 8'10". He's 8". Like,
yeah, so
that's why I asked the question, because it's one thing to identify the player, but who is he replacing in the lineup?
Yeah, it's interesting, because he can play a little bit more centrally, not have to be as forward, right? So imagine, like, if Gundogan and Leverkusen Kai Havertz combined into a player, and that's the type of player I think Florian Wirtz is. He's very like he's so good. He's COVID so guy, good. So good. He's got skill sets across the board, right? I don't think we'd play him at like a more center midfield position, because we have center midfielders, we have center backs that can play center midfield. But I do think that he could be a better Mateus Nunez. Although, again, I think you're right. Like, does he fit into the squad? I don't know. It could be one of those things where it's like, he's too good, he's on the market, might as well buy him type situation, and then ship a couple people. I don't know if he'd fit, to be completely honest with you. But do we want Arsenal or even Manchester United or even Liverpool picking
that's
up?
That's what I'll say. You, like you said,
buy come him to our bench, away. My guy. Come to our bench.
But so there's been, whether it's real or not, right? There's been the little hints of, oh, well, maybe this is going to be it for Jack. Maybe Jack is on his way out the door because he hasn't really gotten playing time, and it's not just been working for him. Would you, and maybe that's not a good question, but bringing in Vert, letting Jack leave, obviously that would depend upon somebody having an opening and wanting him and all that other stuff. But if it was just a one-to-one.
Yeah. I think if Jack was like, I want to leave, I think you'd do it, right? I don't think there's any way to force Jack Grealish out. I love Jack Grealish. Right. I think he's fantastic. Whenever players get upset at Manchester City, they win trophies and they aren't upset anymore. You look at Bernardo Silva, he was potentially going to leave to Barcelona. We win a treble. Bernardo's not going anywhere. So I think you see that pattern where sometimes players get a little bit uneasy because they aren't in the 11 every single game. And that's just the nature of the beast. Like, if you're on this type of team where you have 15, 16 players, they're going to get time. If you don't play well in training in a week, your spot's not guaranteed. So, you know, if he's not going to buy into that and he says, I want to leave, fair to him. You know, I'm not going to hate Jack for that. I get it. Go, you know. Be a guy where you play every game and on, you know, the entire season. If he wants to leave, sure, and then we'll get Florian Wirtz. Fine with me, but I don't know. I don't feel good about pushing Jack out if we want Florian Wirtz, right? Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Jack is fantastic. He's going through a low in form. It is what it is. Every player does it, except Kevin De Bruyne and Rodri, I guess. But yeah,
those are some. Awesome. So, thank you, Nico.
Thank you guys, man. This is an honor, and I really, really appreciate it.
Of course. You have a good rest of your night, homie.
Thanks for jumping on, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Peace.
All right. Our next guest. I'm super excited. We
were able to get her back on. I'm super excited to just talk footy with her. I'm ashamed Tombaum wasn't able to make it because I know he would be going straight right now. Bless you. You didn't mute it. I think I don't know what that was. That was great.
Oh, my fault. I thought it was me. Sorry. I didn't hear mute. My bad.
That was the cutest little sneeze. Watch you.
All right. That was okay. Let's keep going. I'm so sorry for the intro. My apologies to our guests. I'm so sorry.
Just step I ruined on your intro. Shady Gang, please give it up for Megan Swain. Actually, how do you say your last name?
Swanick.
Oh, like Swan died. That makes sense.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. Yes. Glad to have you.
Yes. Very glad to
have you. So happy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
I really do want to start with this Gold Cup conversation because they're is a lot of change going on right now. And for someone who is tapped in as you are, I would love to hear your perspective and how you are seeing how everything is moving along at the current moment.
Yeah, so there's a few things that are really exciting about this Gold Cup, I think, from my perspective. So one is just from the U.S. women's national team perspective. They had a horrible year last year. I think everyone's pretty aware of that. And then after falling out of the World Cup, the earliest they've ever lost in the World Cup, looking pretty abysmal in the process, lots of controversy surrounding the team in the process, they were stuck in limbo for like 4 or 5 months. Same lineups from the World Cup, nothing changing. Only in like December of last year did they start calling in new players and shuffling out the veterans. So we got a little bit of a glimpse of the younger talent that is in the wider pool for this team. And that has continued with the roster released last week for this tournament. And it's a very young roster. It's a really exciting roster of 23 players called in. This is off the top of my head, so I could be a little bit off, but I think 7 of them have under 10 caps for the national team. Something like 12 of them, I think, were on the World Cup roster last summer. So it's a lot of new faces. It's a lot of getting rid of the people who were there last summer and trialing new talent, which I think is really important for this team. Does that mean that Alex Morgan is forever gone or Becky Sauerbrunn, who actually is in the roster now? She was not initially. She is back because there was an injury. But does this mean all the older names that are familiar to the wider fan base are forever gone? I don't think so. But I do think that this is a chance for the younger names, the people who are 18, 19, 20 years old, made a name for themselves in NWSL to take over the team, basically, if they do well in this tournament and prepare for the Olympics. So that's the U.S. women's national team, kind of big picture where they're at. It's the younger talent replacing the older talent. This is their chance. If they blow it, they blow it. If they take over the tournament, they're probably going to the Olympics. And it's the team getting ready to attempt to make amends for what happened last summer with the Olympics coming in a few months this summer. From a wider perspective for the entire tournament, I think it's a really fun tournament for a number of reasons. One, we've had the Gold Cup for the men's side of things for years, and this is the inaugural women's CONCACAF Gold Cup. So that's exciting. It's overdue. It's fun. And I think that it gives the opportunity for a very wide number of CONCACAF, North American, Central American, Caribbean teams to continue to grow their talent. But also, we've invited a number of South American teams. So it's a really widespread of up-and-coming teams, pre-existing powerhouses of the region. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see how the U.S. does. So there's a lot of information in there.
So from CONMEBOL, we're bringing in Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, and Paraguay. That really makes the the competitive, it increases the competitive balance quite a bit, right? It's a lot more of a stronger field to play against when you think about the Brazils. Colombia was nice. It's not going to be, I don't expect it to be a pushover and a walkover, but you know, I expect us to, we should have enough. And again, we'll see. But what are you most excited about? Like, who on this roster are you most excited to see get this opportunity?
Oh, where to begin? I think that for the U.S., you know, you have to say one is Mia Fischel, who you know, she was drafted into the NWSL, and then she decided that, actually, I'm going to Mexico. She went to Mexico for two seasons, tore up the league in Mexico. She's from San Diego originally. She tore up the league, was setting records, golden boot. No one could stop her. And she wasn't getting called in by the U.S. national team. And this was a point of contention for a while because obviously this player is informed. She's incredible. She's talented. She looks like she's going to be someone to really take a look at for the up and coming generation. But she wasn't getting that nod from the national team. It wasn't until last summer she moved to Chelsea. So now she's in England. She's in what is arguably the best league in the world on the women's side now. Certainly one of them, arguably the best. That's a whole other topic we could get into if you want. but yeah, so she's with Chelsea. She's kind of originally called in to be the backup striker to Sam Kerr. Sam Kerr tore her ACL. They've now, she was starting games, but they signed in a record transfer for them, Mayra Rodriguez, who was a Colombian striker who unfortunately won't be in this Gold Cup, but also speaks to the incredible depth of talent coming out of North, Central, South America. So she's with Emma Hayes, the eventual coach at Chelsea. She's doing really well. She, I think, is someone who I'm probably the most excited to see alongside, I want to say, Jaden Shaw, probably. So she is with the San Diego Wave. She's a very talented, creative player. I think she can play multiple positions. But she's really got the full package. She's young. She was the 2022 Rookie of the Year with the San Diego Wave. Mm-hmm. Really seamless transition as a teenager into the professional ranks in NWSL. And I think that those are the two players, especially together, that I want to see them combine and really kind of take hold of what I think is going to be their role as part of the next generation for this team.
Megan, may I ask you a quick question? On a scale of 1 to 10, and please be honest, what would you rate Vlatko's performance in the World Cup as a manager?
Oh, man. I mean, that's tough. You like the guy. I'm going to, you know, here's my throat clear. I think that his, you know, person management, I think the players genuinely liked him as a person. He cared about them. That's what he brought to the team. I think that's why he was hired in the first place. He's a smart guy. I think he was trying to instill a style that wasn't going to work for them. He was stubborn about it, no flexibility. I'm going to give him a 4. I'm going to say he had a 4, and that's maybe being
generous. That is what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear anything below a 5. Yeah. He literally wasted. He wasted an entire World Cup. There was so much talent in that squad. And he can now. Yeah. I will say this: this is my follow up, and I'm done crying. I promise. I'm sorry.
No, don't be upset. Yeah,
I just want to, like, what's your take on Alex Morgan being a starter now? Is she like, has she choked? Like, should she have been a super sub in that World Cup? You don't have to be. I mean, it's over now. We know this.
It's an important question, and I think that you could argue she shouldn't have even have been in the roster. And I think that part of what went wrong last summer was that, you know, as I said before, part of why he was brought in and part of why players liked him is that he was very likable. Mm-hmm. And I think that being harsh was hard for him. And I think that actually what this roster had needed was harshness after the Olympics, or when he took the role before the Olympics, and then definitely after the Olympics when that didn't go well. I think it needed him to kind of cut the cord where he wasn't willing to permanently. And, you know, not just Alex Morgan, but also Megan Rapinoe, who both of them have done so much for the national team. But why are we sending Megan Rapinoe into the match over the forward line is our most talented by far. It preach. Really boggles preach. My mind.
I was watching that match at like 5 or whatever early time in the morning. Yes. I'm just like, why is this happening? Why am I up so early to watch such an abysmal decision from such a rich man who knows so much more about football than I do? But he's putting in Megan Rapinoe in this decision. I'm sorry. I'm done. But thank you so much, Megan.
Have we not, as a U.S. women's national team, have we not, let me say it this way. It feels to me like we've consistently kept players a cycle too long or a little bit beyond where, and so I go back to even before, mine just went blank. Before Alex, it was
Abby Wambach.
Abby Wambach. Yeah. And I feel like she even stayed around a cycle too long, at least. So we've consistently done that. And maybe there hasn't been enough true competition for places and really allowing people to earn their spots on the pitch as opposed to in the media or, you know, their persona or whatever else. And I think that's been my frustration. My concern now is they're throwing and not all of, I mean, there are some more experienced players to your point. We still have Alyssa Nair. We still have Abby Dahlkemper and others like that. Right. You talked about Becky Sarbrunn. So there's still a couple of, you know, really experienced veteran players on this lineup. My concern, though, is let's just throw all the young players in at once. So then if it doesn't go well, they get all of the blame. And I just think that's, you know, you don't want them to be set up for failure. And that's my concern. Because we got an interim head coach. We don't even have a real coach yet. So it's like there's still a lot of uncertainties that may not have anything to do with the players on the pitch, but they will be the ones that see, we told you they couldn't do it. Just, you know, everybody was clamoring to see them. So that's my concern. That's my fear. And I would hate for that to happen.
No, that's really valid and wise of you to say that. What I would say is, so I think they're in their second day of training as we speak. And we just had a press conference a little bit earlier with Emily Fox and Lindsay Horan, which was interesting. And something that Lindsay Horan said, so she's the co-captain with Alex Morgan. If Alex Morgan isn't there, it's presumed she's the captain. And she said that the plan is for everyone to get equal playing time. So we're going to see, that's a really positive thing here. I think we're going to see everyone get playing time, kind of equal rotation with everybody in this tournament. So that's great, kind of trialing all that young talent. Insofar as though, as part of that, the younger talent, the fresher faces, the people who have 2, 3, 4 appearances under their belt with the national team, I guess that I would say is, you know, who knows what the media is going to do or social media is going to do or that. But as far as the team goes and these individuals as characters go, I think that we've seen that it's kind of silly to assume that just because someone's older means they're necessarily a leader, or on the flip side, be a leader. You know, we have Naomi Girma, who is still young. She slid right into this national team and was a leader immediately. She's a leader with San Diego Wave. She was a leader when she was in college. She played every minute of the World Cup, led that back line. And she didn't need, you know, she's in her early 20s. She didn't need a decade to be a leader with this team. She's a leader with this team. And I think we will see that actually with some of these other younger players. The lives they've lived, the experience that they've had, I think it will translate. And I trust at least the team not and the coaching staff not to hold anyone accountable if they make mistakes in their 4th or 5th cap. The fan base, who knows, but at least as the team goes.
Yeah. Sharpie, Tarek, y'all have been killing it. That's why I was like, don't apologize. When you see me just sitting here being quiet, I'm not trying to move anything on. I'm just watching you guys going back and forth. And you're like, it makes me brim with joy. Like, I love it.
So, I don't want to step on your toes, Kronk. You know, you have a thought process.
Oh, I have none. Sure. I have none. Like, I, I read the room, and the room was saying, you two are the hot hand. So, you know, if I get the ball, it's like a quick little dribble and give it to the hot hands.
Can I ask a question real quick since I'm hot, Crump? Yes. Megan, let's get to the real, like, drama of the past few months or past few weeks. Lindsay Horan apologizes for her, and I quote, American soccer fans aren't smart comment, end quote. Yeah. Did she have a point, Megan? What did she mean? Let's talk about
it.
Let's break it down.
Yeah. So Lindsay Horan, as people will know, she's the captain of this team. She, I think the exact quote, and I have it in front of me. So and this is via The Athletic. So an article came out in The Athletic. I think Meg Linehan had spoken to her in December when they had a two-leg friendly with China. And she spoke one-on-one with Lindsay as part of this conversation, which I think was an hour-long conversation. And I think it's important just to point out that, you know, we weren't there. And so all of this is being filtered through The Athletic. And we don't know what she meant because we weren't sitting at the table with Lindsay and with Meg Linehan. I do think that that's important to point out here. But the quote that was reported in The Athletic was, American soccer fans, most of them aren't smart. They don't know the game. They don't understand, but it's getting better and better. So that is an interesting quote. It's an interesting quote to come from the captain of the U.S. women's national team. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I'll give you my quick thoughts and then I give you an update because she apologized today. I think it was poor wording. Broadly speaking, do I agree with her that American soccer fans are dumb? I do not, personally. I think that's a poor mischaracterization. It's not responsible to say as the captain of the team. It's not helpful either. I don't know if you know, supporting Manchester City, get that from some people who might be like, what do you know? You don't know the game. So it's not helpful. I don't think it's true either. Here's what I would say in her defense. I think that reading into the article that came out in The Athletic and then her apology today, I think what she was trying to get at is that a lot of the conversation around the U.S. women's national team is not about the game. And that's fair, whether that's from pundits or from fans. I think she was trying to get at, they're not talking about how we play. They're talking about us as people or what we stand for. And a lot of the critique is there. And that's valid. That's valid. It's a good point. It's true, I think. It's definitely something that I think in women's sports more broadly, like I think a lot of women's athletes would like to just play the game or have that be what people talk about, but that's not what happens. So I think that's part of what she meant. I also think that she might be talking about people only reading into what pundits say and repeating that. And that's another critique. So I think that's what she meant. But she did emotionally apologize today. So she gave a press conference about 4 hours ago, and she, you know, with like tears in her eyes, was like, I love our fans. I spoke inartfully. I'm sorry. So I don't think we should hold it against her, but I guess my summary would be, I don't agree.
Here's the thing. I think most is the interesting word, right? Because most means 51% or more, right? It's like more than 50%. And I would say, like, as just the history of our country, when it comes to soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, your choice, it is the least knowledgeable sport, right? Like, there are people that love it, but on the whole, if you talk like, oh, who's watching the World Cup and who really watches NWSL, who watches WSL, Barclays WSL, right? Like, it's a very small number. So for the percentage, like, I don't think she was wrong. And when I first heard, I was like, no, I don't believe that most of the people that watched the World Cup this summer understood what was happening on a tactical level or on a really like she was saying, right, on like a true football IQ level. Was she wrong for saying it? Yes. She should have used her words wrong, like differently. And she apologized today, as you said. But let's be real. Like, soccer is like the fourth or fifth most popular sport in this country. And so anybody that tunes in a summer tournament or a winter tournament in this case, whatever, like, you're not going to be like, oh, I know the game. I know, understand a 4-3-3 and what it means to change tactics and what it means to switch wingers and all the things that we know as soccer lovers. Like, the numbers were on her side. But as the captain, as you said, Megan, like, you can't say it, but doesn't mean it's not real, to my opinion. Tarik, I see you. Yeah.
No, I'm in complete and total agreement with you, because again, we're talking about the U.S. women's national team. We're not talking about her at her club team, whether, you know, here or in France, right? We're talking about the U.S. women's national team. And again, Summer Olympics, whatever, Summer World Cup, all of those things. It is a audience that is very much casual fans of the game. Really, probably not even fans of the game. They are, hey, these women are representing this
country. They just want to win a row.
I support the team that wears my flag, right? And so I know the names because they've been around long enough. And because there's this hoopla around certain members of this squad. And so it doesn't help when you have what I'm going to call the voices of the game in the States hyping up the negative aspects or the potential perceived negative aspects of, you know, the personalities, not about what happens on the pitch, but it's about the personalities, because they maybe adhere to a perspective that I don't agree with, or they do, or whatever, right? As Black men, the fact that Megan Rapinoe was willing to take a knee, I appreciate that, right? There is another group of people, though, that don't appreciate that. And there are voices like the Alexi Lawlesses or whoever that want to play that up. And so a portion of our fan base, they are already, you know, they don't care what they're doing on the pitch. They're only concerned about, well, I know Megan Rapinoe because she took a knee. So I don't, you know, whatever. So I think I agree with you completely that if we're talking about fans of the U.S. women's national team, it is probably a high degree or high proportion of those fans are more casual in their fandom. When you think about WSL, people who have teams that they follow in these professional leagues, then you become much more, I'll say, less nuanced, casual, more nuanced, more that you're, I don't want to say a bigger fan, because maybe
you're a more knowledgeable fan.
More knowledgeable. Like, yeah. Following it more closely. You'd be probably a little bit more knowledgeable. So I agree with you. I don't think that she was probably wrong. But again, you probably can't say it, especially when there's already this perceived opinion about this team. So you just feed into what people, you know, already feel.
Megan, yeah. Can I ask you a quick question? What do you think if Crystal Dunn or Trinity Rodman, let's get into race, that's real, right? If Trinity Rodman, Crystal Dunn, Midge Purse say the same, or Lynn Williams, right, because she was on the squad, if they say the same thing, do you think it's received the same, or do you think it's like, do you think it's different? Like, what do you think would happen theoretically? This is totally
hard to judge. It's hard to judge. I think that it's hard to judge because I actually think a lot of people agreed with Lindsay across the aisle, which was interesting to see. And you made a really good point and an important distinction that I hadn't made actually between national team and NWSL, which she didn't specify. And it's, you would need her to specify, because you guys are correct that for the national team, the reception of, first of all, the understanding of the game is going to be different, and most people watching are going to be casuals, and most people critiques are going to be filtered through Alexi Lawless or people like that for the national team, and the hoopla, as you mentioned, is going to be specific to that. But NWSL is different, and that's where I think she was most unfair. But even for the national team, like, I think that if this had happened during the World Cup, it would have been the end of the world. And potentially if Trinity Rodman had said it, it would have been worse. You know, I saw Trinity Rodman singled out. I don't know what media outlet it was, but it was interesting. Like, she got singled out for not respecting the national anthem during the World Cup when she sang the national anthem. Not that you need to, but she was like one of three people who did. So it was very interesting to me that she got singled out for not, as like the only example, when, not that it matters, but she's one of three people who had. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I think that it would be different though for the national team and for the club domestic level. And for Lindsay's comments, somebody pointed this out last week, where the NWSL, I think, has really been a front runner, not just in terms of the game and playing the game, but in terms of having fans. You know, in terms of women's sports and women's soccer, filling the stadium still has work to do. And I think that we are kind of front runners there. You know, you see Barcelona breaking records, filling stadiums in Spain. You see Arsenal, I think, is about to set a new record when they play Manchester United this weekend. Manchester City is playing Chelsea tomorrow. That's a big game. The top of the table clash for the women in WSL Fairmont tomorrow. Plus. So it's going to be, you know, big crowds. But still, I think NWSL consistently across the league, not just the top of the table, is setting a standard for having fans that are dedicated and know the game. And somebody pointed this out last week because she had made like she had made a comparison between people in France understanding her game better, which kind of makes you think that she might mean the club level. And unfortunately, Lyon, even though it's the most decorated team in Europe, is averaging like 600 fans a game. So it's kind of like, well, what fans? You know, not to be disrespectful, but like,
wow.
Yeah. So not a lot of people show up to the games in France. Right. So it's like, who do you mean? You know, like, so I think
has it fallen that far? Are you serious? Like 600 is the average attendance this year?
So what I would say is that I don't know if that's definitely the average, but they played PSG, who are like, those are the two top teams, big French rival.
Yeah.
Those are the two top teams. And there were like 600 people there when they played each other last week.
If you can only get 600 for that game, good Lord.
Oh, right. Wow. So it's like if we're going to play the game of the French know the game on the domestic scene level, which I think you guys were right to point a difference between national. It's like, well, what fans? There's not that many people there.
Wow, that's insane.
Wow. And they might know the game,
but we've always known
and San Diego Wave, and we sell out Gotham, and these things happen. Like we've seen it. That's so crazy. 600 is wild. You can't give away 600.
They're a very knowledgeable 600 fans, though.
They know. Exactly. A six is a very specific number. We know what a six does, and you got to respect it.
So, but listen, I like Lindsay Horan. My last thing I'll say is that she was like in tears. Like she feels bad, so I want to be generous to her. Yeah. But I think she said she learned a lesson, and I'll give her space to learn it.
I'm with her.
So we touched on, and I know we're trying to end the show, and we've gone longer than we probably should, and I don't know how much time you have. But,
honestly, this is the new.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about our guests. I'll take all your time. I don't care about your time. I care about her time.
Megan, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. So can I ask one more question? Because we've touched on NWSL, and I know in the notes that you and we kind of all had opportunity to look at, you mentioned USL Super League. For anyone that's paying attention, either live or later, you may not know there is a new league that is coming into being this summer that has women's soccer league that has received Division One. What's the word I'm looking for? They've been recognized at a Division One level. I guess I wanted to get your take on what you actually asked the question. I think it's you who asked this question. What does it mean for NWSL, particularly because when I look at the markets that USL Super League are going to, it feels like they're going to markets that already have teams in many cases. Or already have women's teams. And so instead of maybe broadening the soccer horizon, it feels like they're just more entrenching it in these few select cases. I say there's a new team coming in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we have North Carolina Courage. Charlotte is not Raleigh. I get that. There's probably 2 to 3 hour difference there. But still, it's still in North Carolina. We have a Dallas team coming when there's a Houston team. There's two teams coming in Florida when you already have, you already have teams down there. So what does this mean? Because the markets, there's some degree of overlap. What does this mean for NWSL long term? And are we missing it by not expanding the soccer footprint, the women's soccer footprint in the States?
It's very interesting. And I would say, I mean, the jury is out on what is going to happen. And there is a path forward where this is a good thing, actually. I mean, competition can be great in that it forces you to make sure that you are up to stuff, like you are setting the standard, you are offering the best salary, you're offering the best training facilities, you're offering the best experience for fans, you know, all of those things. You're the place where players want to play. You're the place where fans want to go. You're in the right location. So all of those things, you know, the fact that there's now, in terms of what does it mean for NWSL, it means that they have competition, basically. And NWSL is the third iteration of Flight Professional Soccer in the U.S. The first two iterations folded. And NWSL is going, you know, strong now, but certainly it still has room to grow. It's setting records for its attendance. It's, you know, broadcast deals, everything's going well. And that was something they were quick to point out. This announcement came out. They put out a statement that was like, congratulations to the USL League, you know, take acceptable accomplishments, kind of like as a, you know, checkmate kind of thing. You know, we've done these, this stuff, good luck to you type of thing. But I think that having another option for players nearby could force them to continue to just be on their toes a little bit, which could be a good thing. That's, I think, the positive light for how NWSL will take it. In terms of how it'd be for them, I mean, look at there's, which, you know, we're no stranger to Team Team or a Washington team, but they play in the suburbs. The Philadelphia Union, Nico and my, the team that we cover or work for, technically is not in Philadelphia. It's in Delaware County. It's a little bit outside of Philadelphia proper. So there's now New York, New Jersey, Gotham, who are really trying to brand themselves as the New York team, trying to capture that market. They feel inspired by the Yankees, by the Giants. They won the championship last season. And coming into this new season, their big thing is branding themselves as the New York team. But all of a sudden, there's another New York team, and it's in Brooklyn. So, like, what are you going to do when you're the trying to be the New York team, but you're in New Jersey? But there is a New York team, and it's actually in Brooklyn. It's easier to get to if you're a New Yorker. And in like a New Yorker, New Yorker, not someone in the suburbs. So I think that those are things that are going to be interesting in terms of where the teams actually play physically. For USL, I mean, starting out as a brand new top flight, women's top division with the sanctioning, like part of it, as you mentioned, you know, what does this mean? The Division One sanctioning, like part of it is just how many people can you hold in your stadium? How many time zones do you operate in? How many teams are in your league? And it's just kind of a formality. But at the same time, in terms of being a successful top flight league, they're going to need to figure out who are their sponsors? Who are their broadcasting partners? How are they going to be businesses that are self-sustaining? What are they going to do to draw in talent or attract talent away from NWSL if that is their goal? So definitely, you know, I think that the fact that there's been two folded top flight leagues in the U.S., you know, will this one be able to learn from NWSL and be successful will be interesting to watch. And then the last thing I would say is that, I mean, more college athletes being able to go professional is great. You know, there were more women's soccer players in the draft than there were spaces in the draft this year. So they now have a place to go, which is great. So more opportunity is always going to be a good thing, but I definitely think it'll be interesting to watch and with a lot of questions.
I wonder if we're setting up a NBA, ABA, NFL, yeah. AFL, where there's eventually a combination that happens, a merger that happens, even if all teams don't go. But there's I think it's 14 teams in NWSL currently. And what mm-hmm. I just looked at, I think there's like nine teams coming this year with another four or five coming the next in 2025, I think, something like that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens overall and with the soccer, just the whole soccer landscape here in the state. So, yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for your patience. Well, yeah, I just keep asking questions. Oh, and then okay, there he is.
There you go. Y'all hosted that.
Okay. I moved. Well, please let the listeners know
how it, where they need to go to support your work?
Yeah, the easiest place to find me is just on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. You can find me Meg_Swanick on X. And I do some freelance writing. I've got a Substack, but I post everything there. So that is the easiest one-stop shop to find me.
Great. Well, truly, thank you for coming on. We appreciate your time. And you have a good rest of your evening.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, good. Thank you.
Yes,
thanks.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks.
Ah, yes. Okay. Truly, thank you to May, to Nico, to Megan, most dope guests. Oh, man. Might as well say it now. Hold on. Give me a second. Next week's guest.
Ooh, let's talk about it.
Oh, shoot. A member of Shady Gang. I'm super excited. One half of the Molly Twins. Kate.
Ooh.
And then we got the homie B Flame. I'm super excited about them. That I know for a fact who recommended him to me. It was Jake. They're into Bundesliga, so we're going to get into the little German football. And our final guest next week is Melina Dodovich, who tomorrow she will be joining me to talk City and Chelsea in some Breaking Bad action. So we're just going to bring her back.
Right before the match. Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
We're here in this place. We're here.
Yeah. She's a personality. You all will find out tomorrow. I think she's gonna fit in the list stream very well. Sharpie,
Kronk, I'm gonna give you an assignment right now. I'm gonna feel for you. I got you. Can you go to the Premier League in USA Twitter? I think we need a shout out. Phil Sills. I'm sorry. Let me switch your order. Shout to Sills, Southern Sills, Phil, and all the other people. They like Premier League in USA highlighted Black supporters of Premier League clubs. I thought it was beautiful. We had Liverpool represented. We had Chelsea. I believe West Ham. There might be Spurs in there. And that was just a beautiful thing to see because Sills came on our show last season. Amazing. We love the work they do. And as Kronk is going to pull up right now, like right there, look at that. Like that is beautiful. Like that doesn't happen 5 years ago, people. Like, it takes the work. It takes the effort that they have put in to what, you know, everybody is doing here and, like, trying to make sure that this space is represented for everyone. And so when you see people, it's important to show them off. And, like, if we have a little platform, people see this on a replay, they see it live. Shout out to the people who are there to, like, continue to push this forward for everyone because football is a game for everybody. Soccer is a game for everybody, however you want to call it. Like, we don't get here without everyone being involved. And so shout out to Southern Seals, shout out to Phil. We've had them on, and all the other people that were mentioned. Just want to put that out there. Thank you so much, Kwan.
Yes. No. Good on you for remembering to say something. Thanks to my show bro, Sharpie, Terry. Thanks to everybody on FanFest Live, on YouTube, on Twitter, and all you people watching the replays, appreciate you. Love you all.
Love y'all.
Make sure to rate and review for the people listening to this because I need to get back to putting this on our podcast stream as well. If you're watching on YouTube, thumbs up, all those good things. We'll see you tomorrow night. If not then, we'll see you for the watch along for the Chelsea men. You know the vibes. Shady gang. Shady gang. Shady game.
Let's go.